The show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. And on today's program, we'll be featuring one of the performers who will be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight. That's on the Eastern Illinois University campus. Both of these artists are visitors to our area. Switchback is the name of a duo who are Brian Fitzgerald and Martin McCormick. They have this kind of combined sound that they call American roots mixed with Celtic soul. And so we'll give you a little bit of a sample of that, but you'll have a direct sample of the other artist on the program. She's a singer-songwriter out of Boston area called Mika Pauly, and won a number of awards we'll talk about a little bit later. But she's live in our studio and looking forward to hearing her. Hope you'll stay with us on Live and Local. Meanwhile, here is somebody else who has been in our area, I think it was probably a couple of years ago now, a fine singer named Matt Belsante.
Brazil, the Brazil that I knew, where I wandered with you, lives in my imagination, where the songs are passionate and a smile has flash in it. And a kiss has art in it, for you put your heart in it, and so I dream of old Brazil. Or entertaining June, we stood beneath the amber moon and softly murmured, someday soon we kissed and clung together. Then tomorrow was another day, the morning found me miles away with still a million things to say. Twilight dims the sky above, recalling thrills of our love. There's one thing I'm certain of, return I will to old Brazil.
singer Matt Belsante, the tune called Brazil of Ari Barroso, if I'm reading my own writing correctly. That's from 1939, obviously updated quite a bit, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He was a visiting artist to Bloomington, I think, within the last 2 years, year and a half or so. Could have been just last year. I lose track of these things. Well, one of the visiting artists coming to our area tonight is singer-songwriter Mika Pauly. She's in our studio now getting warmed up. She's going to be playing on a concert tonight at 7 o'clock at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston, along with a duo called Switchback, Brian Fitzgerald and Martin McCormick. They have a new CD out on which they have a number of guests, and I pulled off some tracks from their CD, which appears to be just the two of them, which it will be just the two of them at the concert tonight, their disc called The Vintage Collection. And here's the first track on there. It's called Ain't Going Back.
Traffic is a-flowing, gotta keep it going. Heading down to Nashville, gonna make a big kill. Wound up on the corner, hustling every corner. But I ain't going back. But I ain't going back. But I ain't going back. One, two, three, four. Sitting in the big bar, next to Elroy.
Heading down to Nashville.
I'm waiting out the weather.
I'm gonna make a big time.
I'm trying to pull myself together. But I ain't going back. But I ain't going back. But I ain't going back. My back's up against the wall. I kicked around, but I'm on my feet.
Called Ain't Going Back by the duo Switchback. They've been called by Dirty Linen magazine as, quote, one of the Midwest's most exciting roots duos, and they call themselves kind of a blend of American roots and Celtic soul. I'm not sure what Celtic soul means. Unfortunately, they're not here to ask. We tried to get them on the program, but they're actually playing, unfortunately, for for them, I guess, at a friend's funeral this morning up in Chicago area. But they will be down at the Dowdness Fine Arts Center tonight, along with singer-songwriter Mika Pauly, who is in our studio. She's about ready to go. We'll be hearing her shortly. But I wanted to share another tune from Switchback. These are from their CD called The Vintage Collection. So some of them are a little bit older from their outbook. Ain't Going Back actually goes back to 1994. So this is obviously a look back CD for them. You can check out their website at, I think it's just switchback.com. I thought I wrote it down here. But they are Brian Fitzgerald and Martin McCormick. And this song is called Whistlepot.
Hardship and discomfort in the land along the shore. Lifetimes are cut short by a river we adore. The river is rising. I watch from my back porch door. Beneath the cool gray horizon, the rain pours. Mississippi River makes you humble. Say the old valley folk. You build your house and watch it crumble. Stranded, ragged and poor. Thunderclaps rumble. Wind and water gather force. This town is gonna tumble. Mississippi River makes you humble. Say the old valley folk. You build your house and watch it crumble. Stranded, ragged and poor. Deliver when the rain pours. When the rain pours, stranded, 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 ragged.
We just heard the duo called Switchback and their song called Whistlepot. It comes off of their vintage collection, which means that it's a throwback to some of their earlier songs. They're going to be at the Dowdness Fine Arts Center in Charleston tonight at 7 o'clock on the Eastern Illinois University campus. It's going to be preceded by a cookout in the performance courtyard starting at 5 o'clock from 5 to 6:30. And you just heard them here on Live and Local. And we have in the studio with us the person who's also going to be on that program. They're singing, performing separately, but then later on together. We'll talk about that in a little bit, too. Mika Pauly, and we'll be hearing from her live in just a few moments. But first, I wanted to introduce you to Dwight Vaught, who is the director of the Dowdness Fine Arts Center. Is that your technical title?
Sure, I guess. That works.
Sure, why not? Yeah, I saw you're an assistant director for programming or assistant dean for programming also or something like that. Yeah. But in short, you're in charge of the DALNA, including for coming up with all the artists who are on the series.
Correct.
And how did you find Switchback? Tell us a little bit about them, because since they're not here to speak for themselves.
Well, Switchback had a little bit of history with Eastern in that we have a celebration festival of the arts that goes on in April. And a few years ago, they were one of the groups that came through and did a quick set at the arts festival. And they were so good, we thought at some point we'd like to bring them back and put them, you know, on stage, give them a little more advertising and get folks in. And so it just so happened that this summer was a great way to do it. And then we were looking for, we don't do much in the way of double billing at the DALNA. Most everybody comes in as a primary top billing artist. But we thought, well, this would be a great time in the summer to do some double bill. Let's get the veterans, Switchback, the people who have been around for a while. And for us, a newcomer, somebody like Mika Pauly, although in her eyes, probably not a newcomer, but for our area, this would be a new voice. This would be something new. And so we just decided, let's see if we can put them together on the same stage on the same day. And it just worked.
And Switchback doesn't mind, as they say here, the musical partnership of over two decades. They don't mind sharing the stage?
Absolutely not. You know, one of the great things about all of these artists, Switchback and Mika, is that they're just ultimately flexible, you know, because they like to associate with other artists. You know, Switchback has not met Mika to this point, and Mika has not met them, so they will meet for the first time this afternoon, although they'll be doing some collaborating tonight. And so they're more than willing to share the stage because they all take the philosophy that they can learn all kinds of things when they get folks together.
Well, which actually is a nice lead-in to Mika. First of all, thanks for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
I was looking at an interview with you. I don't remember if it was on your website or somewhere I found it online, in which you talked about kind of how you got started as a street performer. But also gradually adding sound to filling out your sound, I think is how you put it, by having other artists with you at times. But also, obviously, as you're going to be doing in Charleston, at least for part of the program, singing on your own. What's your take on the value of adding others to your sound?
I think it's huge. I mean, they've been playing for two decades, right? I mean, I've been playing since 2001, so it's about a decade.
That's a decade, yeah.
Yeah, and there's only so much you can do by yourself. I mean, there's only so much resource in your brain. And I've found every time I collaborate, whether it's short-term or long-term, you know, you take something away and you can add that and integrate that into your own music.
But there's, of course, many artists who that's what they do all the time and have done it for many more decades than Switchback's been around. And they're a solo. Almost always. I'm thinking of people like, since you're kind of in the folk realm,
mm-hmm.
Judy Collins, who else? I mean, people who, they just have their guitar with them all the time, and that's it. Is that...
Well, I don't know any history about them. I can't imagine that they lived in this sort of musicianless vacuum where they never collaborated or never took anything in from anybody else. But I guess it's a matter of just what you want to do. I love integrating with other musicians. That's what I love. I love having music that's not coming completely from inside of me. You know, I always get moved by other people's music, but not my own. You know what it is to, like, listen to other people and just go into this void. There's no void because it's coming from me. And so when I have a band on stage with me, I can sort of disappear into the music, into their music, and have it be separate from me.
How much does your own sound change when you get with somebody else? Aside from the fact that obviously they're adding sounds to yours, how much does your musical personality change?
My musical personality doesn't really change at all, I don't think. But my musical personality, I mean, it's basically just my voice and whatever guitar happens, you know, to be backing me up, whether it's my own or somebody else playing. Because it's so bare, you can fill it in so much. You know, there's so many things you can do with that. So I remain the same, but just the perception from outside is just bigger, fuller, different, you know, additions.
Well, I was thinking about this a little bit because Switchback had suggested that if I could, I play some off of their newest album, which is a collaboration for them. There's obviously quite a number of other singers, other performers, primarily instrumentalists on that disc. But to my ear, it completely changes their sound from the sort we've sampled so far to for them anyway, much more of a pop rock sound that I suspect is not what they're going to be presenting tonight. And I guess that's what I was thinking about personality change, if that happens for you at all when you collaborate with other people. Or I guess it has to depend who you collaborate with.
It's very true. When I'm solo, I'm very much folk. You know, I'm very much like Patty Griffin or sort of solo Jeff Buckley or something like that. But then you add the last band that I played with, they added a very sort of alternative, you know, emotional British rock vibe to what I was doing. And so for sure, the personality of the music changed itself. I was thinking you were more talking about my own musical personality and delivery and such. That doesn't change, but this sort of like the sonic landscape that changes.
When you collaborate, is it usually with your own music or not necessarily?
No, it's always with my own music. Yeah, I get a little self-conscious collaborating on other people's music, you know, as a vocalist. I mean, that's not true. I have co-written with people. And so that they would perform songs that I've added to. But in terms of actually me collaborating with somebody else on a recording or a live show, I haven't really done that except in situations like tonight where it's whoever I'm performing with, we decide to just get up. We love each other's music and we decide to get up on stage and just play sort of like last minute. But not in the sense that my band worked with me on my music and released a CD. I've never done that for somebody else.
How's that going to be tonight if you've not met these guys? Dwight said you're getting together sometime this afternoon. Do you know any of the same songs?
I bet we do. I mean, it's going to be amazing, whatever it is. We'll be able to figure it out. We're all musicians.
Well, the guys with Switchback, Marty and Brian, in a print interview that hit this morning, they said, you know, that's one of the things that musicians feed off of is the opportunity just to see what can happen when you get on stage. You have some shell of a plan, but then it's the stuff that goes off the plan that actually becomes the most fun. And he said, you know, if we end up doing something together and we crash and burn part of the way through, he said, that's part of the fun of it. You know, he said, we'll all have fun doing it. And
that's
what we wanted is the fun.
That's a really good point, because if we do crash and burn, it's going to be a fun experience for everybody, because it's the attitude of the musicians getting up on stage. I'm used to being in front of people. I'm used to messing up big time and having the audience be with me on that and, you know, laugh with me on that, and it ends up being part of the performance. You know, my kind of performance is not like Lady Gaga or something like that, where from start to finish it's all been like planned and put on stage. Like, a lot of this is just like me hanging out with the audience. You know what I mean? Telling some jokes that they laugh at, telling some jokes that bomb, and they laugh at me for being dumb. You know, it's like, it's totally fine.
And so, that's what we like, too, is that we wanted this to be sort of a bit raw, if we will say. Not raw as in not polished, but raw as in just the experience of the moment and whatever happens in the moment. We're not cutting a live CD here. It doesn't have to be a completely finished product when you put them together. Put them on stage and see what kind of synergy comes as a result of that. That's the great part.
And I'm not – I've done a lot of shows with friends or non-friends, and at the end – you know, people shout for an encore, and you think, like, well, who do they want to come up on stage?
Right.
And I've actually gotten on stage with them, and we have, like, a little 5-second, 10-second whisper, what should we do?
Yeah.
And then we do it.
You do something.
And people just love it. They're not looking for something rehearsed. You know, they're not looking for something. They know that we're just throwing it together, and they love that part of it.
Well, with jazz players, it's really quite commonplace for somebody to sit in, because there's this vast repertoire of standards that people just know. So, you know, this one, oh yeah, sure, and then they go do it. But especially if, you know, in your case, where you generally perform your own material and Switchback generally performs their own material, I think, who does that leave? Whose material does that leave?
Well, you meet somewhere in the middle. That's
and there are standard covers. And, I mean, jazz, you have to have a vast repertoire. I mean, you can't predict where jazz is going unless you've got it in front of you. Folk, G, C, D, G. Those are the chords. We can basically make that work, whatever we do.
And you know, somebody so it could make be up any some
song.
Words.
I guess so. I doubt we're going to be making up a song tonight.
You never know.
You never know.
Well, speaking of songs that have been made up in advance, why don't you sing us one?
Sure. This song is called Run. It's the title track from my most recent album. Yeah, I got the thumbs up from Dwight on this one.
I love it.
You've had enough, it's rough, I know. No two ways around. You gotta come clean, you have gotta come clean. How you gonna come clean now? Run, run far beneath the sun. Run, Elijah, drop your gun, son. Your world has got no armor on. Of glass and go home to your castle of white. Go on, wipe your feet at the door as you have done all your life. Oh, oh, then run, run far beneath the sun. Run, Elijah, drop your gun, son. Your world has got no armor on. Run, run far beneath the sun. Run, Elijah, drop your gun. Your world has got no armor on. Stare down the mirror, you watched it crash. Now you're standing on broken glass. No way to get this wrong undone. Hey, are you ready to run? If they got you tied a little too tight, honey, don't let them know. Fade to the left, take a big deep breath on your mark. Get set, just go and run. Far beneath the sun, Elijah, drop your gun. Your world has got no armor on it. Run, 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 run. Elijah, drop your gun, son. Stay down. Drop your gun, your world has got no armor on. Run, run, far beneath the sun. Run, Elijah, drop your gun, son. Your world has got no armor on. Run, run, far beneath the sun. Elijah, drop your gun. Oh, 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 then run. Far beneath the sun. Elijah, drop your gun. Your world has got no armor.
Mika Pauly here on Live and Local. So the song was called Run, or Elijah, Drop Your Gun?
The song is called Run, and the album is called Elijah, Drop Your Gun. So the title for the album and the song
comes out of that.
The song.
The line. Yeah, the line. Yeah. Right, there we go. Which was, and this was the one that was funded entirely by fans?
Yeah.
You told that story in the interview that I was seeing, so why don't you tell it for our listeners here who probably haven't read that interview, the interview.
It's getting more and more common, but this was in 2006, 2007. A lot of folk musicians had been raising money to make albums by asking their fans for support. And so I decided to try that, and it ended up being amazing. So I would offer things as little as like just a signed copy of the CD, all the way up to being listed in the liner notes. And then like the top one was that I would perform a house concert. And I think a lot of listeners may be familiar with that, but some people might not be. And that's where I come to your house and I play. You bring your friends, I bring my guitar and my sound system, and we just have sort of like a mini party concert in your house. And so some people who funded the album, they got house concerts as well. And I was able to raise $17,000 on that. And for a folk musician, that's pretty rad. You know, that led to the music was great, and then I got a eight-panel full-color CD booklet, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like that. That was just, I was just indulging by that point,
Yeah. Does that mean you had to just write a whole lot more to fill up the liner notes?
No, I ended up being able to include the lyrics, which I think is important to a lot of people. Because a lot of times, if you just have like two sides, all you get room for is like your name, the name of the album.
No, I always love it when the lyrics are printed because, as I've said on this show before, I'm lyrically challenged, meaning that I have trouble absorbing them when I'm actually listening to them. And sometimes I can't even understand them. I could understand very well what you were singing, but it helps me to be able to either follow along or read later or so on. So that's fantastic. So was there a minimum figure that somebody had to put up for you to do a house concert for them?
There was. It was $1,000.
So how many did you have to do?
7.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty amazing. So yeah, and it was all discussions. So it's like nobody could pledge $1,000 from, you know, like Siberia or something and ask me to come play. You know, it's like it was all negotiable before I took the money.
Right. Well, that's fair. So you're saying you wouldn't have wanted to go to Siberia and play a house concert?
I think it probably would have cost me more to get there and set all that up.
Well, you could have said, I'll do the house concert, but then you also have to add the airfare.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's for your next one.
I'm a musician, not a businessman, so
yeah. Well,
I need to get on that.
You can. So your next album, if you actually go do that, you can put my name in the liner notes, in the liner cover.
Oh, yeah,
because I suggested that.
You're going to be following up on that?
No, probably not. I'll probably forget entirely that I said anything about that. But if it happens, you know. At least drop me a line and say, hey, you know, I'm in Siberia and it's your fault. Hopefully you got there just to sing and not for some more horrible reason that people often, you know, at least used to end up in Siberia. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Somehow I got convicted by Russian law.
So you went to Harvard.
I did.
But one of the appeals of Harvard for you was the fact that there were street performers in Cambridge.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I went to Harvard because of that, you know, but that was amazing that was.
But you did say that was a significant.
It was very
factor.
Significant because, I, you know, had that moment not happened, I probably still, if they said yes, I would have said yes. But there was a moment that it felt right, and that was traveling to Harvard Square, sitting down and watching the street performers play, and it felt right. I could see that the next, you know, 4 years of my life were already determined based on that moment. So as soon as I got there, I studied, and then I bought myself a, you know, portable battery-operated amp and started playing in the street as well.
What did you study at Harvard?
I started off physics. It kicked my butt, and then I ended up going to biological anthropology.
What, and that kicked your butt less?
Well, it's a softer science. I hope nobody at the university right now is going to argue with me on that, but it is a little softer.
Well, it's less numbers, probably.
Less numbers, and I don't know. I'm not trying to bash it. I loved it, and I see the world through different eyes now. You know, everything is just like, you know, seeing us as primates as opposed to humans. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks they do things for complicated reasons. And sometimes it can just be boiled down to primate behavior.
Does this ever show up in your music?
No, it doesn't. I like having my intellect be very separate from my artistry.
How do you keep it separate?
I have no idea. I don't know. Talk to my therapist. I don't know.
Is he or she around?
Yeah. We could call in, I guess. I don't know. I probably erected some wall. I like having both as havens, you know. I can go to music, and then when that gets to be too much, then I can go to the other place. You know what I mean?
So what happens in the other place? What do you do in the other place?
Just think. I don't know. Read books. Read interesting books.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm curious because, you know, as a songwriter, I assume anyway that much of what you sing about comes from within somewhere. Does it come purely from the heart and leave out the brain?
Yeah, I think a lot of my music is very emotionally based. You know, if I write a line, you know, I told you I wasn't moved by my own music, but I'm always moved by the line when I come up with it. Never again after that, but when I come up with a good line. So it's always emotional. I can't deliver anything intellectually interesting. Like my delivery really is emotionally based. I love being able to play something and seeing somebody be moved in an emotional way. You know, laughter, tears, whatever. But I never want, you know, I couldn't deliver anything where I deliver something and they're like, You know, that makes me think. I don't do that kind of music. I think that's just a whole different side of me that doesn't cross over with the art.
You know, I actually, when you said that earlier, I wanted to follow up with it then, but I guess since you brought it up again, I'll follow up with it now. Mm-hmm. When you say you're not moved by your own music,
moved
elaborate
the,
on that.
Yeah, it's a different kind of move. Like I'm, you know, it's like telling a story that you've told a million times. You know, you enjoy telling the story. You enjoy seeing the laughter from people, but after a while, it becomes something that you've done a whole lot before. You know, but with music, when it's coming from somebody else, when you're listening to a live show or something else, it's like because it's not coming from you, because it's not something that you understand through and through, you can sit there and be moved and apply it to yourself. You know, just reading yourself into music, reading yourself into books, whatever, poetry, you're putting yourself in that place, but there's no. Every part of me is in these songs. You know, there's no way I can integrate myself into these songs for what I'm going. It means one specific thing to me. And now I'm just simply telling stories. So I enjoy telling the stories, however that is. But it's not like I can get lost in my own music. You know, put it on when I'm having a hard time. Put on myself and have myself sing to me and be moved the way I'd be moved by my favorite artist.
So you wouldn't listen to your own songs as sung by you. But yet when you're delivering your song, you're obviously emotionally involved.
Yeah, but it's a social involvement. I'm involved with somebody else. You know, when I'm when you're alone with music and you're listening, it's you and that artist. When I'm on and if it's just me and me and there's no like connection there. You know what I mean? I can't listen to my music that way, but when I'm on stage, when I'm in the studio, there's an object for these songs. There's someone I'm singing it to, whether it's the audience. And the emotion comes from the connection with the audience. No longer just the music, it's the connection with the audience. Or in the studio, it's the intention that I'm singing for the people that will eventually listen to this. And that's where the connection, the emotion comes from.
This is kind of psychoanalytical. I mean, since you brought up the therapist thing.
Yeah. But yeah. Well,
no, this
made
is really
a vague
interesting.
Comment, and now you're like diving into it, so I have to have some sort of.
Well, I'd have let it go if
answer.
You hadn't brought it up again.
Oh, well, I don't want to contradict myself in one single interview.
No, you know? We wouldn't be real people if we didn't do that every probably every time. No, I just think it's really interesting because you know I have always wondered actually how singers can keep singing the same songs. And still be moved by them enough that they can deliver them with conviction.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the audience. You know, I played a show in Huntington, West Virginia, where the heat was broken. I was there in my park, and nobody came out because of the situation. So it was basically me, the sound guy, and the bartender, who took frequent smoke breaks. So a lot of times I was just on stage singing to nobody.
So this is wintertime then?
Wintertime, yeah. Oh, horrible. And I wasn't feeling my songs at all. There was no conviction. There was like, I'm playing so I can get my paycheck and go. You know what I mean? So a lot of it, it's not just the muscle memory of just like singing the songs. It's the connection with the audience for sure. I can't sing to an empty room and have it be like a mind-blowing performance, you know?
So do you have trouble well, I guess if there's in a recording studio, there inevitably are still people around.
Yeah, there's still people around, and no, I don't have a problem with that.
Or do you imagine the hopefully hundreds of thousands of people who are eventually going to hear the song in their living room or on their iPod?
I don't imagine it like that, but there's a purpose to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And a lot of times when you're recording, they're new songs too, so you're still pretty psyched about them.
Well, we got about somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 listeners right now.
Hey, guys.
So, yeah, why don't you inspire them with something. What do you want to do next?
Play another song. Okay, this is also from that. Oh, no, I'll play another song from my most recent EP, which was released in 2009. This is called Colossal.
Be straight. Do you want to make a colossal mistake as much as I do? Oh, I do. You wear an honest face. Do you want to lay the world to waste as much as I do? Oh, I do. I like to see my head with stairs. empty script already. This dead end trip on thought. And sick mind as much as I do. Oh, I do. If I'm right and you're in, you better like a good sin as much as I do. Oh, I do. I'd like to say I'm in the right, the time or day than night.
Song is called Colossal from the 2009 EP From the Mouth of Paris, I think you called it, by Mika Pauly, performed here live in our studio on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And she is going to be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center tonight at 7 o'clock, along with the duo called Switchback. They'll each do a set on their own, or a couple of sets, I don't know, and then some things together, which they will devise sometime today. I wanted to give you a chance, Dwight Vaught, who's director of the Dowden Fine Arts Center. You were nodding your head vigorously earlier when I said there's a cookout tonight before the concert. Do you want to talk about that and how one gets involved in the cookout, assuming they still can?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Well, food entertainment, I mean, what else goes together better, right? So we figured, hey, it's summer. Everybody likes cookouts. You know, it feeds that social, no pun intended, but it does feed that social element. Yeah. About what we want to do is to bring people together around the arts. And sometimes we get into a mode of going to see a performance, you show up at the appointed time, you take your seat, you might have a few people around you. When the show's over, you go home, and you don't really have any connection with all of the other people that are around you. And so when we have the opportunity, we wanted to do something like a cookout. And so it'll be wonderful because the weather's going to cooperate today, and the cookout will be outside between 5 and 6:30 and give people an opportunity maybe to meet other folks from the area that they haven't met before and to begin talking about the artists that they're going to see and do they know anything about them and, gee, I wonder what we're going to hear. here. And it, you know, it brings a lot of people together, and that's the whole purpose of it. So it's, yes, it's food, yes, it's entertainment, but it's also more about this, as much about the social element as it is anything.
And are you inviting Mika, Brian, and Marty to the cookout?
I was about to ask, can we hang out?
I don't know. Did you buy a ticket?
No.
Well, of course, you know, we always extend to the artists if they want to be a part of that. They may still be working on the collaborations or the sound check or who knows, so we may be feeding them in the green room. But hey, if they're good to go, come on out
eat
and
sometime.
Enjoy it with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, you know, a cookout after the concert would be fun too, because then people could interact. This is, again, for, I'm giving you a future idea, Dwight.
I'm sure you want credit for this now.
I want credit in the brochure. I'm apparently full of ideas this week, because yesterday I suggested something for a concert that might actually happen this weekend. I don't know. I have to check with somebody. I'm thinking about, you know, film. Sometimes if you go to a movie, if you're out on a date or you're just out with friends, and sometimes you go to dinner and then the movie, and then you go home. And then you can't talk about the movie except in the car. But if you go to the movie and then dinner, and if it was an interesting movie, then you get to talk about.
Sure.
You know, then there's built-in conversation. So afterwards, you get to maybe talk about Mika, or better yet, with Mika about Mika, or whatever. You know, find out, well, what did you mean in that song called Colossal?
Is this? Yeah. Apparently, Kevin's bringing dessert for everybody.
That's right.
After the show.
Actually,
right?
I'll be playing tennis right about that. Time.
Well, of course, that's one of the reasons why we like to set the concert at a family-friendly time, 7 o'clock, which means they each do a set and they do some things together. We've still got some time then to collaborate afterwards, and hopefully people will pick up a CD and they'll be able to talk with the artists about their music, and they still have some time without feeling like, oh, I have to rush home, it's going to be late, I have to get to work the next day. You know, you give them some of that time, and more unstructured time, I think. You know, the cookout and the concert, those are kind of structured, although with a lot of flexibility in them. Afterwards, then let people take the moment and do whatever they want to with it. That's what we hope will happen.
Mika, do you like to talk to audience members after your shows?
I love to talk to them after and before. I've found I do a lot of house concerts, and that started introducing that aspect, and it's so much better when you know who you're performing to.
What do you typically get asked by people in the audience?
Well, after the show?
Anytime.
I don't even know. I mean, a lot of times they just come up, and I think they just want to know. I guess some people ask who my influences are. That's like a common question for all musicians. But I think a lot of times they just hang out afterwards. Beforehand, I like to just like talk. And then if they find out that I'm the musician playing, that's awesome. You know, but if not, you know, I just like to get a sense, you know, just sort of like socially integrate and then get on stage and keep that sort of connection, you know.
And then you whip out the guitar, and they say, oh, that's who we were just talking about. Yeah, surprise them all at the end. I mean, do you get asked much about what did that song mean, or where did that song come from?
Actually, I do. That is a very common question, and I never tell a person where a song's from.
That was going to be my next question, if you like to talk about that.
There's two reasons. The first is I just don't like talking about where it comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have done a different kind of art. There's a reason why I hide everything I'm saying in, like, sort of vague words and then sing it. You know what I mean? I think that's just the way I unload on people, it's just very vaguely. But the second reason is, and this is sort of goes back to what I was saying before, if somebody knows where the song came from, I mean, they're looking for a connection with me. If they know where the song came from, they're going to be less able to see themselves in that song, because there's going to be a description, there's going to be a story behind it. And I'd rather them just sort of put themselves in the song and have it mean whatever it means to them without it being trivialized by my own experience, I guess.
Well, it certainly wouldn't be trivialized, or you wouldn't have written the song.
No, it could be.
It's hardly trivial.
Yeah, but it's not their experience.
Right.
You know.
That's an interesting take on that. I remember I did an interview, probably one of my least successful interviews, was with Nico Case. And I did ask her about, you know, where some of these songs came from, and she really did not want to talk about it to a kind of remarkably defensive degree, I thought. But you just put an interesting spin on that.
Yeah, so when people ask, I try not to make them feel bad for asking. I explain that. I do. You know, I don't just say no.
Well, do you ever turn it around on them and say, well, what does it mean to you?
You know, actually, I haven't. Man, you've got good ideas.
Well, I wonder, would that be interesting? Nah, you know, this is why I'm broke, because I don't actually follow up on any of this stuff.
I might do that. A lot of times people will volunteer that information. You know, they'll say, this song really moved me because this and this just happened to me. You know, so a lot of times people will volunteer that. But maybe I should turn it around on them if they do ask.
Well, and I wondered if they do ask, and you did follow up with that question, would that inform your next performance of the song in any way?
I think it could, I guess. I think empathy is very hard to sort of stretch to the next performance. I think it's a lot easier to apply it to whatever I'm going through at the moment. I don't know. That makes me sound selfish. But I'm just being honest about where things come from when I perform.
Sure. Well, they're your songs.
And yeah.
You can sing them how you want.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm just always curious about these things, how people, partly, as I said earlier, how people manage to sing this song from day to day, like Broadway singers, you know, they'd sing these songs for years on end,
yeah.
You know, night after night after night. But also how things evolve for you, whether a song will evolve either because something new happened to you or because, you know, some audience member came up and said, well, this happened to me, and so therefore this song meant that. And if you'd latch onto that or...
Yeah, I mean, I bet if somebody said that about a song I've stopped liking, it'd make me... I think in the past it's made me like the song again and put some more energy into the song. But I don't know if that's the same as empathy.
Do you... Do you find yourself writing new songs simply so that, or at least in part, so that you can put some of the old songs away?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, that's a good impetus. You don't want to be doing the same show for years. It's a little different than Broadway. I think people want to hear different stuff. But it's hard to write for that reason. It's hard to write for a business reason, you know. So I would like for songs to come, but a lot of times it's not actually the motivation. It'll be my motivation to pick up the guitar, finish a song, you know.
Do songs come to you easily?
No, not at all.
So you can't just say, like some writers will do, and say, I'm going to write from 7 to 9 in the morning, and then I'm going to have my little breakfast and then write some more.
I wish I could. I mean, I know I'm capable of writing, because when I intend to write, I can't. But every time I got somewhere else to be, when I've got something else to do, that's when I'm able to write. You know, so I do it in these little spurts of being late, you know.
That sounds like the never-ending story of the procrastinator, you know. You always do your best work when you're supposed to be doing something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want to hear another song from you in just a moment. I do need to say thanks to the many, many friends of WILL who made contributions to our station in the last year. You're the reason that this coming year, which started just a few days ago, our fiscal year, will be filled with news, information, music, and performances like Mika Pauly's, because you took an active role in sustaining WILL with your contributions. It's extremely important to us and, of course, to all of our listeners who were able to reap the benefits of your generosity. Thank you very much, as always. And I'm Kevin Kelly for Live and Local. Mika Pauly was going to be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center with Switchback tonight. The concert starts at 7. The cookout starts at 5. I should have asked Dwight, how does one get in? Do you just show up for the cookout? Or do you have to reserve for the food, or what do you have to do?
It's an all-inclusive ticket. So if you buy a ticket for the show, you automatically get the cookout.
Okay.
If you can't make the cookout, it's the same price for the show, but it's definitely
if you can't make the cookout, Mika gets more food.
That's right, yeah. So we want to make it all-inclusive and easy. So, yeah, there are still tickets available. If for some reason we were to happen to sell out this afternoon, then we would have to tell folks, say, you know, we might be able to feed you, but we don't have a seat. We don't have any more seats in the theater for you to see the show. So, you know, we hope that doesn't happen, but, you know, we've had a good response. So, but people are more than welcome.
And the website is?
www.eiu.edu. That's Eastern's website, eiu.edu/Doudna, D-O-U-D-N-A. And you can find information on there, and then they'll have a click a buy tickets button.
And Dwight Vaught is the director of the Doudna Fine Arts Center. Mika Pauly is singing at 7, and she's going to sing something else for us right now.
think words build up in you like steam. I mean, you drink each day like water. Your mind burns bright like fire. High and cold, they meet. I need nothing else but to be made clean. I mean, you bring words out. Our dirt washed off her. The dirt's miles thick, and you find her words like a shovel. You speak, you speak. Oh, don't wanna fall under and make all of the same mistakes. Don't wanna fall under and make all of the same.
Mika Pauly, live on Live and Local. What album does that come from?
That's from Elijah, Drop Your Gun.
Which is from 2007.
Mm-hmm. First track.
And you're working on a new one right now?
I am about to meet a producer next week, so wish me luck.
Good luck. And thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Folks, go out here, Mika Pauly, tonight at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center, along with Switchback. The show starts at 7, the cookout starts at 5. The web address is eiu.edu/Dowdna. And you're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and at W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support as well from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. I'm Kevin Kelly for Illinois Public Media's Live and Local, and we'll go out with a little bit from Switchback.